signs of the time. And notice I didn't say times plural, I said time, singular. What is it that we're supposed to watch for? That's basically what I want to discuss with you this morning. Father gives us ample warning if we simply pay attention and do it His way. Because you know what? That's exactly the way it's going to happen, is His way. If you're off somewhere on a venture of your own, you're going to miss it. So you look for things as He instructs you to look, or you're pumping air, friend, or something. You're in boom-boom land. So you must discipline yourself, and you must focus on what He says, because what He says, He means. It always happens that way. It always has happened that way. It always shall happen that way. So if you would, as we begin, open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we find in chapter 5 a little instruction there. And let's go with it. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Now, what does it say there? Times and seasons. They are important. That's signs to you, and that's signs that you look for. Two, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And as you've probably heard me repeat from what a young lady said once, what better time to be surprised than when most people think He's already here, meaning the spurious Messiah. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, some were discussing the trumpets and how, which one we were on and how far they were apart and so forth, the seals. And it's good to watch, but don't forget that sign. That's a very important sign, and if you really want to know what it means, talk to some lady that is a mother. It may have taken that first pain quite a while to come along. Normally, it's probably pretty close to 9 months. There have been cases that it's been a shorter time than that, and there have been cases it was a longer time than that. But when they do start happening, don't try to judge by time as far as years are concerned, because, boy, the action gets started and you have the birth of a new age on you before you even know what happened. What am I saying? When the ball begins to roll, it picks up snow quickly, all right? And so don't go to sleep at the switch when you're observing events. We especially have an interesting year this year because two amateurs on almost opposite sides of the world spotted two new comets that the experts, so-called, had never seen before. And what a beautiful sight the first one was. The second one will not arrive here. It will arrive in less than a year from the time the first one did. That's something you want to make note of. You want to just happen within the same year, that is to say less than a 12-month period of time, spotted by a couple of amateurs, which means it wasn't something that it was expected by man, even by the experts. But it did happen, because I don't know how many of you saw the comet that have seen it. It was, at its brightest, that tail was awesome. It was really awesome. And of course, what was it? A chunk of ice. You know, what should a chunk of ice do? Well, we don't see a chunk of ice go by every day, Just so that makes it a sign. So we watch that. Okay, so what was my point? When things begin to happen, look out. I can tell you something. I thank God that He drew me into the Word at a very young age, 22, and gave me a lot of help through other people and so forth. And I thank God that I was able to know how to look for signs. And it seemed that they would never come to pass. Wait 10 years and maybe something. And now it seems like it's almost daily that you see new events happening on the world scene. So my point, be alert. Be very alert. Verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You know why? Because you have the light in you. There's no darkness around you. Verse 5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Make a note of that. We are not of the darkness. Some people say, well, which day do you worship on? Well, if you're really in the clique, you never are in a night. You're always in the same day anyway. It's like when God extended the day for Joshua, whereby he won the victory. He's done the same for us. We're never in darkness. We're always in light. It's all one day, working up to the Lord's day. And tomorrow afternoon, we'll be talking more about the Lord's Day. Okay? So, verse 6, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. That means spiritually. Now, you be sure and get plenty of rest for the old bod because it needs it. Okay? But spiritually, stay awake. Be alert. Be in tune. But let us watch and be sober. That means seriously, sincerely. Take a close look at it. Now, basically, when you begin working with signs, ultimately time is going to be involved, calendars. And unfortunately, man, over a long period of time, has been a very sorry calendar keeper. It would appear as far as keeping a record of longevity. That's not to say that the knowledge was not there, because I feel that God gave it to us. Naturally, you know why I go by the solar calendar rather than the lunar calendar, because the lunar and the loon both are of no night. All right? Just pitch blackness. But the solar is the sun. The moon can't get its act together, you know? It's not dependable. By that I mean it's a little out of cycle with the cycle. Now, I think that the Catabole had a little something to do with that. Someday it'll be perfect. But the sun is always right on time. It's just perfect. So let's talk about calendars just for one moment. Why do we figure from the vernal or the spring equinox, green corn equinox, whichever you want to call it, 14 days Passover? You can't go by that moon. I mean, you can, but it's not exactly accurate. Then, are you the first person that's ever only used a solar calendar? No, not at all. Solomon, in all the temple's glory, it is believed by historians, took from Tyre, because Tyre used a solar calendar, and this is kind of typical that our people took the solar calendar from those people, and yet at the same time, in Genesis chapter 8, I think it's verse 13, I may stand corrected. I'm right. 8:13, you have mention of an exact solar year. So, who started this solar business? God did. Right? Our Father. He placed it there, as he states in the very first chapter of Genesis, for signs and for seasons. But there's a very beautiful thing that old Solomon, you know, he was so blessed, and God had blessed them with so many riches because he kind of got things right for a while, that the east gate was only open once a year. Once a year was the east gate open. And this is going to sound prophetic to you if you listen closely. And when the sun came up over the Mount of Olives on the peak, and exactly on the autumn equinox is when this happened. This is why, in part, I believe you now have a new year. You have a cup. You know, people get a little confused. our new year begins at Passover or just before. Some say, well, no, the Passover begins through history, you know, in autumn. Well, this is kind of where the confusion began, but it doesn't matter what you call the start of it. It just lopes around anyway, okay? Doesn't make any difference. But when that sun came up over the Mount of Olives, and bear in mind, that's where Christ's feet land, and there is a way parted, as it is written in Zechariah chapter 4, a way for us through that east gate and so forth. Well, that's what the sun did on this particular day. One day, it came, it would shine through the east gate, across the court, centered the great altar, then across the porch, across the through the two brazen pillars, and then with the temple itself shining directly through those brazen pillars into the temple all the way to the west end. And if that main gate at the east gate was opened and that sun did not align over the altar with those two brazen altars, I'm sorry, pillars, all the way to the west end, they had to close the gate, open it the next day, add one day every 4 years, and that was a leap year. Isn't that astounding that they were that intelligent back then? Or is it that we're a little dumb catching on as time goes on, you know? So he used what some would say, a solar and a lunar calendar. It's all right to go by the lunar if you know how it acts, you know? She's about 28 days up, but it makes you stop and it makes you pause and think at how much we have lost through time by backing up. Of course, that calendar has gone by the wayside. When it went by the wayside, we lost track. And some would say, oh no, the brethren have it exact. What brethren? What brethren? You'd better take a close look. But there is one thing you can count on. It's the sun for accuracy. That's why that, and again, I might say one thing further. We travel the mountains and everything, and here you come in, and here in Ogham, Irish Ogham, like in the Rio Grande River, is a sun with two S's here, which means solstice, the solar, all right? Even in the ancient Irish tongue, it means that. Of course, the Irish were, you know, they were with it. But they always put this little old sun right in a spot where there's a crag or something over here. That exactly. And it'll tell whether it's spring or autumn. That sun is going to exactly line up with it. Those poor dummies traveling the Arkansas River 800 or 900 AD knew how to do that. All right? And be accurate. And yet here we go down to the drugstore, the grocery store, and say, well, I've got to get a new calendar. Yeah. You know, and they tell you on this calendar, well, we got to add this, and here it's a leap year, and, you know, we got to jig and do a little zag here. The solar is so perfect, you know, but then that's all right. I just wanted you to know that you have to open your mind and remember that God is a God of light, of truth. He's not going to steer you wrong if you will pay attention to Him. Now, if you start listening to man, or sometimes even self, can be very destructive by getting on wild goose chases. Now, if the Father leads you, take off. I mean, everybody likes to work with a pencil. There's nothing wrong with it, all right? And it keeps you out of trouble. You know, you might have been doing no telling what if you weren't real involved. But don't make a religion out of it. All right. Don't make a religion out of it. Why? If you focus so strongly on something like that, you're going to lose sight of the Word of God. And you're in trouble. So God said, Paul would say here, you don't even need to know. Don't even need to know. Now, many of you know that we have a very special Passover this year. How many of you know why? And I mean because of a lunar... I just want to know, how many know what the lunar... Okay, well, I better tell you then. That's bad. That's really bad. When the moon rose April the 3rd, that's the moon that announces Passover. You know what happened to that sucker? It eclipsed. Wow! Isn't that something? Well, it is. I'm going to show you a picture of it after a while. If everything works good, you know, sometimes you can't tell, but if it doesn't work good, I can describe it so vividly that you won't have any trouble seeing it anyway. But, hey, that doesn't happen every day. It hasn't happened in my lifetime, and do you know something? It hasn't happened in a few people's lifetimes before me. Many generations. I could talk all day about what that could be a sign of. Just run away with it. But we want to focus on God's Word. Go with me to the second chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Dennis must be wanting my water. I've about spilt it all over me there again. You that weren't here last night, that's an in-house thing. Okay, let's pick it up with verse 6. You all know what happened on Pentecost Day. I mean, they were all talking. And man, I don't care if you were Chinese or if you were from... you could even be from Bermuda. And you understood, and I say that lovingly, you would understand perfectly what he was saying. All right? And for some of you people that don't know, we've got some ladies that I dearly love from Bermuda here, and I was just teasing them a little bit, okay? It didn't matter where you were from or what language you spoke. When they spoke in that tongue, it was called cloven in the Greek, meaning it came out in every language of the world. And that, my friend, was the evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's something man can't fake, all right? I mean, it was perfect. That's a sign. And, you know, and they ask him about it, and he explained what this was. And that's what I really want to talk about, is his explanation of what was happening. Verse 16 states, "But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days." In what days? That should always catch your attention, because you're in the generation of the fig tree, and that's the last one. Which means this has to do with me. Right? That's what you must say to yourself. This has to do with me, my time period at least, all right? "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh," not part of it, all of it. "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Verse 18, "And on my servants, and on my handmaids," that's both men and women, "I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." In other words, it's Mark 13 come to fulfillment, that you're not to premeditate what you will say beforehand, because what you've got to say don't amount to a hill of beans, all right? What I have to say at that time doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It's what God has to say that's important at that time, okay? 19, sharpen up. "And I will show wonders in heaven above," when? In the last days. All right? In the last days. That's when. "And signs in the earth," that's here, that's where you are, "beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke." Listen, there have been some fantastic events that have transpired in your lifetimes. 20, let's be specific. "The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood." That means blood red. How many of you saw the moon April the 3rd? What color was it, lady? Blood red. I mean, now that in itself is not that unusual, but it was redder than red. All right, it was, as hopefully, the quality, I don't know if you'll be able to see it or not. Before what? Before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. That's why that His Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh. Because when you are delivered and when you speak, those trials are going to be televised to the world. Not going to be you speaking to your people. It's going to be the Holy Spirit using you. Perfect. Why? Because God wants every ear to hear. And whether they will or whether they will not, that's their problem. All right? I hope all of you are able to catch the Sunday afternoon lecture. It's very important to how you conduct yourself in ministry. Your responsibilities are your responsibilities, and we'll talk more about that. But that was a sign. Think about it. Think about it, that a person could speak. I mean, we don't even have a machine that can do that. We have a machine that convert from one language to the other, but not all at the same time. You know, that. Do you understand what I'm saying? That would come out, a computer would tell you garbage in, garbage out. But the Holy Spirit doesn't garbage in, garbage out. It's perfect. Now, of course, that would be the sign of signs, naturally. But we have the signs that you are to watch. Did it say count days? Well, it didn't say to count days, but what day was it? It was the 50th. That's Pentecost. All right? That's what Pentecost means, 50. That's all you're saying. So you would want to take that into consideration. And the sun darkened. Well, we have two solar eclipses this year, and that's not that spectacular as others I'll be showing you and talking about. We know when the sun darkens primarily first. That's after old string bean is cast out upon us, you know. And that's, you keep the beans but throw the strings away, all right? And that's when Satan is cast down here with us. And that's naturally moving in. It grows closer and closer day by day. And you can say that and be quite safe in in your declaration. Every day makes one day closer. But it's the signs that you must be watching for. Now, inasmuch as he would mention Joel, that's where the prime root is. Let's go there. Let's go there and see exactly what is being said. And we're going to go to Joel chapter 2 as well. And Joel chapter 2, falling right after Hosea, meaning salvation. I think we'll spend a little time here about how Satan would appear, how his army would come in, and observe the signs. That's important. Chapter 2, verse 1, this is what you're to be doing in the last generation, in the last days. Verse 1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. I wonder how many of you realize what a miracle that all of us in this room are, really. That God would take common folk, and you don't get no commoner than this boy, okay? I guarantee you. I've been in cotton patches. I've been in cornfields. And you think I was driving a tractor in my cotton patch? I was pulling a long white trailer. And I doubt that there's too many in here could tell you what I'm talking about, a long white trailer. But it's called a sack, all right? A cotton sack. I mean, I've been there, all right? I know, I've tasted, experienced, and I love every minute of it. I do. I can't say I love picking cotton too much, but, you know, I grew by it. It didn't hurt me a bit, all right? And I'm all the better for it. But the fact that just common folk like us that he would give a worldwide ministry. And old Big Mama, that big trumpet, just sits out at the back of that old metal building. Looks like a hay shed, barn. A lot of people, they've got some fancy churches in this nation. Big towers and bells and, windows that sparkle. You know, and there we sit in an old metal building, you know. But, hey. It gets the job done, all right? It serves its purpose. We can blow that trumpet, and that rascal goes all the way around the world to warn and to pull out a people that want to hear, and not only hear, but act. We were in the book of Acts. That's what it's about, to act in the Word of God. That's a miracle. I'm telling you what, in my first years of ministry, you couldn't get hardly a handful together to hear God's Word. And it's a miracle that now we can't advertise this meeting, Passover, on television. We have to do it in a newsletter, whereby we know that whoever receives a newsletter is a pretty serious student. Otherwise, I don't know how far we'd have to get out of Northwest Arkansas to have a building big enough to put everybody in. I really don't. But I want you to see the miracle in that. It didn't just happen. God caused it to happen. How did you end up being a party of it? Well, you didn't plan it. You were just dinking along there one day and whoop, whoa, what's that? Woo, man. You know? And God reached down and got a hold of your little old heartstrings and just started playing the most beautiful music you've ever heard. You know, I'm not talking about my voice. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit touching you, saying it's real, it lives, it's true, it means something, and I am a part of it. Right? Those are signs. That has happened. We're in that generation. Praise God. Okay, verse 2. A day. This is before. Remember, it hadn't happened. This is leading up to it. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, and the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. This, of course, is Revelation chapter 9. You're all very familiar with these scriptures, but you've got to stay focused, friend. Just because you read and cover something once, you didn't get all of it. All right? I don't get all of it. You don't get all of it. You have to focus and continue looking, because from one day to the next, things can change. The Word is pregnant. It grows in the womb of the earth. Verse 3. A fire devoureth before them and behind them, a flame burneth. And the land is as a garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. And of course, this is that locust army, and it's strictly spiritual, in that when the false Messiah appears, and his ministers fan out with all the technology, and technology we don't even know of yet. He's supernatural. Then it's going to spread like wildfire and eat up most of the good little old works. You know, we got a lot of good little old country churches and people that, why hasn't God touched them? Well, we leave that in God's hands. Is it that they really haven't been serious? They haven't searched the Word? They've listened to too many men. You know, maybe that's what it is. But they're going to get gobbled up if they're not careful. And that's what the big warning is about. You're not going to fly out of here. If anything, instead of your little old car, you flying out of it, you might blow a tire and have a flat and just get lower, you know, instead of flying. So you've got to pay attention. It's going to happen the way it's written. And they're going to turn all those people's hearts. Why? Hey, if a person can snap their fingers and make lightning come from heaven, human beings that are non-believers, what are they going to say?
Woo!
You know, man, that's holy. Now, that's power. And people will follow power in ignorance or just in not knowing. That the word ignorant to me is not a bad word. I mean, hey, I'm ignorant about a lot of things, and it doesn't embarrass me all that much. If they wanted me to take off in the space shuttle tomorrow, I wouldn't go because I'm ignorant about what I should do to keep everything under control. Now, if it was flying an airplane, that's a different story. If I'm checked out in it and know it, let her rip, you know? I'm ready. But there are a lot of things we're ignorant of, and unfortunately, many people are ignorant about and concerning God's Word. But they're simply going to take over, and you're going to feel like old Elijah, every one of you. We're all alone. They've all gone that way, and here I sit all alone. Don't be frightened. You better thank God you are alone. Otherwise, you'd be in the tub with them. All right? He's able to, you know He's able to take care of you wherever you are and however many believe a lie. All right? You might as well get your little trigger up here set because most are going to believe the lie. How do I know? It's written, and I believe it. And I know our people too, beloved. And it is very obvious what's going to happen. Okay, we continue here. Verse 5, I'm going to skip to 5. That, well, we're there. The appearance of them is like horses. Again, Revelation 9, 5. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble as a strong people set in array, for battle array. Many people think this is God's army. It is God's army. He's controlling that mess. But He's protecting you. In Revelation 9, just before Satan was cast out, what was our Father's last instructions to him in verse 4? He said, don't touch mine anointed. You leave those alone that have the seal of God in their forehead. You can't mess with them. Just like when he was with trying old Job out. Said, what do you think of Job? God said, Satan said, I can get him. You know? Well, he can't get you. Why? Because you're not biblically illiterate. You know what's going to happen. You are forewarned. And you're not going to be caught off guard. Okay, so let's skip, if we may. That's down to 10. Verse 10. The earth shall quake before them. It's going to be awesome. I want you to know that. You're going to really feel outnumbered. But I hope that numbers do not frighten you. All right? They shouldn't. Not when God's on your side. The heavens shall tremble, the sun and moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Now, we have seen, naturally, in part, this is because of the appearance of Christ, that His brightness outshines anything else in a spiritual sense. But at the same time also, as it is written in the book of Acts from here, we'll continue. Verse 11. And the Lord shall utter His voice before His army, for His camp is very great. This is the bad army. All right? Yes, God allows it. For He is strong that exalteth His word. I'm sorry, executeth His word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? You can. Don't you ever doubt that you can abide it, because you understand this. You know that God's going to protect you. Don't touch mine anointed. Oh, He gets angry. Somebody hankies around with you, give them 6 months. After they've hankied with you 6 months, God will thrash them. If anything, you should pray for them. He doesn't like it, and He's jealous. He's very jealous of His anointed. 12. Therefore, also know, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. How much of it? This is serious, beloved. All your heart. And with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. Mourning for who? Yourself? No, our people. We can't be happy that they're going to be deceived. It is sad. And as a missionary for God, that shows you the labor out there. And I'll liken it to old Paul. It's a cotton that's white for harvest. Takes a lot of people, a lot of pickers, all right? And with fasting, weeping, and with mourning, 13. And rend your heart. That means get the junk. Heart translates mind, okay? Get the junk out of your mind and focus on God's Word. The signs He tells you to look for. The events. And not your garments, all right? You can wear them old baggy jeans. It's all right. But it's your mind that we want fixed. And turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth Him of the evil. He really does love His children. And He's only thrashing the others because they need it, all right? It's called correction. And you're going to be a part of a tool to accomplish some of that. That's why we're called one body. And He utilizes that body. 14, who knoweth if He will return and repent and leave a blessing behind Him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Well, and they may. Some person you plant a seed with, whoever they might be. It may almost stun itself, and it may just almost die. And all of a sudden, click. The Lord may touch it, and that thing sprout up, and boy, you've got you somebody that'll stand with you. You know, that's not your business as to whether that seed grows after you plant it, because you can't do anything with it. That's God's work. Only God Himself can touch and bring about germination, which is an act of life, right? And give it life. But you've done your part. Never be disappointed. Verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Well, that's kind of what we've got at this meeting in a way. I don't know about how solemn it is, but serious it is. That is, there's nothing wrong with having a good time and being serious at the same time. I would be out of business if that were not the case, because I'm going to have a good time wherever I go. You can count on it. I'll stand up here, and most people that listen to me teach in person instead of on that thing over there, I'm good for about 50 minutes, and then the Irish takes over, you know? And I'm going to have my fun. I'll still be on the Word, but you'll tell the difference. Okay, 16, gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Hey, that didn't happen. You didn't bother the groom or the bride while they were in the wedding closet. But he said, this is so important that nothing, no tradition comes before it. You might make a mental note of that. You want me to say it again? This is important. No tradition comes before it. Break them. And sanctify your mind and watch as a watchman should. 17, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. That's that place I told you a minute ago that old sun came over the Mount of Olives. Shined right across that court, right across that great altar, and then across that porch. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? In other words, when the false Messiah is on this earth, pray for our people. Don't wait until you're delivered up for the Holy Spirit to speak through you to do your praying. Pray for the people that are lost and are unbelievers. And I'll just speak real frank with you. It is very difficult for intelligent people that utilize a great deal of common sense to be involved in some religions. And I love them. Don't misunderstand me. I love the churches, one and all. They're doing the best. But at the same time, at the same time, it's hard for some people, you know, they say, they act like that in there? I ain't going in that place, you know. Or somebody goes in there, some lady does, and they call her out and say, you can't come in here because you ain't got no, you don't have a dress on, all right? Or isn't that really swift now? You know, a person's soul is hanging in the balance and they're griping about a dress or a pair of breeches. Whew, where have we gone? What's happened? You know, where do you set this musical instrument? Half the people walk out because it's sitting here or it's even in here. That's heavy stuff, isn't it? You know, really, when we've got this. I mean, pray for them. They need it, beloved. That's what I'm telling you. Pray for them. 18. Then will the Lord be jealous of for his land and have pity and pity his people. Beloved, I hope you gather from that. He wants you to pray for them because it's his will that they also be saved. Will they be? Well, I don't know. That's kind of up to them. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Well, we've come to that time when his blessings do flow on us. And I'm speaking in a spiritual way. It is awesome and amazing how that he has given us coverage and good people that do his ministry. So, what do you watch for? Well, moon turning to red. Certainly, well, what if, hook that up then with Passover. And at this time, I'm going to show you something here on the monitor. And it is the eclipse that took place in the full moon, April the 3rd, that announces Passover. And can you see it okay on the screens? Everybody watch the monitor. I'm going to step down here so I can. I'm kind of supposed to be your sound, and I don't know if I've seen this before. Okay. Now, there's the moon just before the eclipse. It was much redder than that. Okay? And we see it, now observe, very red. And it continues on. Again, what makes this spectacular? It's the Passover full moon. It's the moon that announces the Passover. But what's going to happen? What's just about to happen? Look. Woo. Darkness is beginning to take over the Passover moon. Darkness begins to move upon it. On the moon that actually announces Passover to the majority of the people that do not use solar. And on it continues. On it continues. And there it is, taken over. Darkness. The Passover moon totally eclipsed. Hadn't happened. Two comets that appear in the heavens, found by amateurs, and we could say, well, what does it mean? Could it mean that if we use this as a tool rather than the solar to determine Passover, we can see those that would believe that can be wrapped up and deceived into accepting the prince of darkness. Okay, as darkness takes over, you're children of light. Now, this is why this is a benchmark year. Because listen to my words closely. That's not the last one that's going to happen this year. There will be another. It will happen September the 26th of this year. Now, to tell you what September the 26th of this year is, it's the eve of the Feast of Tabernacles. You want me to say that again? It's the eve of the Feast of Tabernacles. Why in this world would God's perfect plan have a total eclipse of the moon that announces exactly on Passover and exactly on Feast of Tabernacles? Let me read to you. September the 26th, total eclipse of the moon. It is the harvest full moon that will undergo a total eclipse, the second one of the year for eastern portions of the United States and Canada. Also, interestingly, listen carefully, interestingly, is that during the eclipse, this eclipse, the moon will be in conjunction with the planet Saturn. Near the start of the totality, diameters, it's about, Saturn will be visible as a bright yellowish-white star approximately 3 moon diameters below the moon itself. Now, you all know what Saturn is symbolic of. Saturn is symbolic of Satan. That's what Saturday is named after, for. It's Satan's planet. Beware of signs in the heavens, for the moon and the sun and the stars were placed there for your witnesses, your signs and your symbols. Never before in man's history has this happened. That makes it a sign. So you are in a benchmark year. What kind of is it pointing to? Well, remember, as far as we know at this time, the last sequence of it will be a comet next spring. So it points to next spring. Something, now I don't want anyone to let their little old pump start racing and say, he's telling us the end of the world is here. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying look up. You know, it's awesome. He's telling us something. And let us be watchful. When I say benchmark, I mean we're moving into a new era, a new time. Things will be different. And of course, we've known this since 1981, that when yours truly was told to mark that day, nothing would ever be the same again from this day forward, and it hasn't. But I tell you, this is a fantastic year. There is so much more involved in this with the comets and the 2 moons, but the fact that it takes these 2 feast days and has this spectacular... Hey, I mean, that wasn't partial, my friend. That wasn't just maybe it'll get around to it or can we excuse that away. That was the darkness taking over. What did the Scriptures say? Darkness shall take over the moon and the sun and so forth. Well, was that exactly what it was talking about? No, that was a sign. It did. It happened. So that means be alert. Be watchful. And if I were you, what was the day really specific that this was brought out on? We were talking about it earlier in Acts chapter 2. What day was that? Pentecost, if I were you. I would be awake on Pentecost Day. Am I saying something's going to happen on Pentecost Day? Yep, the sun's going to come up and it's going to go down. All right? But I'm saying spiritually be attuned. Because I feel that it's also within the parameters of these awesome signs we're receiving in this year. Peace, 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 they cry. Boy, they sure do. And I think we've got more little wars going around this world today than we have in a long, long time, just here and there and everywhere, but yet, peace, peace, peace. I hope you realize I'm trying to tell you it's all on the table. And when the dominoes start falling, my friend, it's going to happen fast. So load and lock. No. Spiritually. Spiritually. See what I told you? I've been so serious here for this bit that now it's beginning to, the Irish is beginning to work on me. But I think it is fantastic. Let's give the Lord a hand for giving us these great signs. All right, what a year. Whoa. What a year. Now in closing, and boy, I don't hardly know even what to say after sharing that with you, those spectacular events. What a Feast of Tabernacles it's going to be. There's going to be a hot time in the old town, I'll tell you for sure, come September. I want to close reading two verses from chapter 6, the great book of Revelation. Chapter 6, Revelation, verse 12. And I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. God's fixing is about to shake somebody out of heaven. I hope you can understand that. That's what you're looking for. It's going to happen. And what an exciting time. What an exciting year and that we have to live in. Hey, aren't you glad you're living today? That you can help people, that what's about to transpire, that finally we can get those yo-yos' attention. Anybody home, you know? All right. Hey, we're going to be able to really be given power. And of course, we have this already if you're exercising it. God has given us many blessings. Well, I just really don't know what to say. I think I'll just open up. You all don't want to ask any questions this morning, do you? You do? Yeah.